We're up to Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Chof. Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Chof. No. I'm sorry. Way back. I'm sorry. Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Vav. Okay, Pasuk Vav. Koy Amar Hashem al Beis Melech Yehuda Gilad Atali Roish Halavanon. Even if you are Gilad and you are the Roish Halavon and you are the top, even if you are Gilad or the summit of Levanon, it's not going to make a difference. In lo is an expression which means I swear. Okay, Perukhov Beis Pasuk Vav. Koyamar Hashem al Beis Melech Yehuda. I'm sorry, Ki Koyamar, thank you. Ki Koyamar Hashem al Beis Melech Yehuda. So says Hashem regarding the Melech of Yehuda, the Bais, in other words, the entire family of Yehuda, Gilad Atali Rosh Halavanon, which has to be translated as, even if I would consider you, Yerushalayim, to be Gilad. Now, Gilad was the Eiver HaYarden, was the other side of the Yarden where Ruvain, God, Nechatzir, Shevet, Menashe, once upon a time, used to live. We have to remember now, this is about 150 years after the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim. So there's no one actually living there on the other side of the Yarden, but that's where they used to live. That region is called Gilad. And that was a beautiful, beautiful land. It was so beautiful that Reuven and God said to Moshe, we don't want to go, we don't want to cross the Yarden. What? That's what it's called, Ramat HaGolan. It's on the other side. Okay. And so, who lives there today?
You have Jewish settlements?
Yeah, Jewish settlements there.
One of the largest milking
is there. It's also, it's very high. It's very high, and from there you can see the entire region. It's a strategic piece of land. From there you can have control, you can see lands on all four sides. And it's considered to be, certainly in ancient times, Gilad is considered to be a very significant, its significance is very great. Gilad Atali, even if you, Yerushalayim, were in my eyes to be considered, elevated, in the status of Gilad or Rosh HaLevonon, or even if I would consider you to be the top of Levonon, that's Lebanon, also a strategic, beautiful piece of land, it wouldn't make a difference. In my eyes, Hashem says, Imlo are two words which mean I swear that I will destroy you, I will obliterate you, there will be nothing left of you. Ashishcha Midbar, I will set you like a desert. Orim, I will make your cities into cities, lo, noishavu, that are uninhabited. You're going to be completely destroyed. Why? Because of your sins. Now, in other words, if you go to a person that has something beautiful, would never, in your right mind, destroy something that you've worked very hard to create or something that is a treasure in your eyes. A person wouldn't do such a thing. No matter what the situation is, who would be so foolish to destroy and throw in the garbage the product of his labor? But Hashem says, by me it's different. I don't care. It doesn't make a difference. I'm willing to destroy this beautiful city of Yerushalayim, even if it would be considered to be like Gilad and the Rosh Levon. It does not matter. I'm going to destroy due to your sins. Pasuk Zayin. Furthermore, V'kidashti olach. The word V'kidashti means I'm going to designate. I'm going to designate against you, Mashchisim, nations that will destroy you, Ish V'cheilav, individuals and their weapons, V'charsu mivchar arozecha, they will cut down your chosen cedars, V'hipilu aloesh, and they'll throw your chosen cedars into the fire. There will be, in other words, there will be no rachmanis, there will be complete obliteration. So let's see these two circles together in the Mitzvot Stavit, Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav begins with the words, Gilad Atali, Im Omnam Ata Be'enai Ki Gilad. Even if it would be true that you, Yerushalayim, are valuable in my eyes, like the region of Gilad. Now, what is Gilad? It's a region. Asher kol eretz sichon ve'oig v'chol ha'bashan. Three different nations used to live in this land. Oig and sichon and the Bashan, that area called the Bashan, Hayu Nikram al Shmam was called Gilad, Kamosha Kasak, it says in the Yoshua, Vayavahu el Eretz ha Gilad, Ki Kainu Tzion Yerushalayim Mokim Be'e Samelech. So too, if Tzion and Yerushalayim would be considered beautiful in my eyes, like in the world's eyes, Gilad was considered to be beautiful, Ki hi ir hachashuva shebechol Eretz Yisrael, because Tzion and Yerushalayim is the capital of the whole Eretz Yisrael, Ule Tosefes Be'er Omar, and to further elaborate upon this point of describing the beauty and the uniqueness of Tzion and Yerushalayim, he says, Rosh Halavonon, Ritzon Olaymar, even if you would be considered to be Rosh L'chol Eretz Yisrael, Nikres B'Shem Levonon, even if you, Yerushalayim, which is considered the capital of the whole Eretz Yisrael, which is also called Levonon. So according to the Mitzudos, I told you another interpretation, Levonon means Lebanon, it means up north. And there it refers to the beauty of Levonon, but here he's saying that the whole Eretz Yisrael is really called Levonon, and here we're calling Yerushalayim the Rosh Levonon. Like in Parshas Ve'eschanan, where Moshe said that you have brought me into this land, the Levonon, which is the Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't make a difference in my eyes, Hashem says. Imlo, I swear. Hu inyan l'shoyn shvua. Ka'odam ho'imel imlo, I swear, imlo kain, hu yihyeh kazos v'chazos. These two words are a code word for an oath. V'gozam, v'lo omar v'chein, v'gozam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu exaggerates. V'loy omar, Hashem does, gozam over here, just, you're starting off the sentence, but you're not going to complete the sentence because it's self understood. Normally, you make a shvu, you say, "Im lo kain hu yihyeh kazos v'chazos." Here, we're not reading the words "kain hu yihyeh kazos v'chazos" because it's not necessary. When you make a shvu, you just start off with the first two words, and that is sufficient. The gozam le'omar v'chein im lo v'chein. Have another pasuk that proves point. Im loy batim rabim. In Yeshaya, in that context, the word Imlo also is a shvua, that beautiful homes will be destroyed. Dr. Fruchter, welcome back. It's been a long time. We missed you. Or it's Sayno Loibar, and what this means to say, Imkol HaChashivas. No, less than 30 days. Less than 30 days. Or it's Sayno Loibar, Imkol HaChashivas, Harani Nishba Sheh. So here, finally, the Mitzudas winds down and tells us what this pasuk means, because if not for his parish, it would almost be impossible to understand what this pasuk means. And he's saying over here is, with all of the chashivas, with all of your beauty, with all of your uniqueness and the specialty of Yerushalayim, it doesn't make a difference in my eyes. I swear I'm going to destroy it. Im kol hachashivus, despite all of your uniqueness, hareini nishba, I swear, Hashem says, she'osim oischo, I will make you kamidbar, like a desert, u'cho'odim, and like cities, ashelo nisyashu mi'olam, like cities that were never inhabited forever. That's how bad the churban is going to be. Pasuk vav, what else will I do? I'm going to designate enemies that will attack. V'kidashti, azmin, Aleha, I will designate against it Anoshim Mashchisim, destroyers. Kol Ish Yiyeh Im Kli Milcham. To the pasuk goes on to Ish V'Chelov. Each man that will attack will come with a weapon. The Charsu Ritzon Eloymar Yaharagu Yicharsu doesn't just mean they cut down the trees. It means the Arze Halavonon, like in the Kinos, which refers to the Talmidei Chachamim, to the great people. They will cut down the Tzadikim, they will cut down all of the Giborim that live in the land. Ritzon Eloymar, Yehargu Hasarim V'Hagiborim, they will kill, murder, the leaders and the mighty among you. Ulefish Amar Roish Halavonon, Amar Losh Nefel Ba'atze Ayar, and the reason why we chose the word a cedar was because since we call the Eretz Yisrael by the name of Levonon, which really means the forest of the Lebanon, so therefore, to play on the words, we refer to the cedars, we select this word as well. Okay, that is the parish of the Mitzvahs. Let me see Rashi. Rashi, Pasik, Vav. Rashi, Gilad Atali. He quotes the Targum. Ilu At Chaviv Kodamai Kibes Makdesha, Deram Beresh Turaya. Even though you may be precious before me like the Beis HaMikdash, he's calling the Beis HaMikdash Gilad. Deram, that is high, that is the Rosh, Beresh Turaya, the top of the mountain, it does not matter. Imloy Ashazinach Midbar, I'm going to make you into the desert. And Rashi elaborates to tell us exactly what he explained, what it means over here, the words of the Targum. Gilad Ata Hamikdash Sheminenu Tsari Urufua L'chol Ha'ilam. Gilad was a place, I guess it's referring to the other side of the Yarden, which was known for medicine. They had the best medical schools, the best hospitals. The Mayo Clinic in Boston. They just had a study. New York City has three of the top 10 hospitals. It's the only city in the world that has three hospitals in one city. Three of the top 10. And what are they? I don't remember which ones there are. Baruch Hashem, I don't remember which ones.
Presbyterian,
Columbia Presbyterian. Or what else? Cornell? Is that? I don't remember. Okay, but it was known. Gilad was known as a region where you go for health, for refuah. But it's more herbs, medicines. They had there all the herbs, the minerals, all the different things that were necessary or beneficial for one's health. That was the way it was known in ancient times. For refuah, you go to Gilad. And we're taking this term and we're borrowing it and we're using it to describe the Beit HaMikdash. Because just like there is a physical illness, there is a spiritual illness. And where do you go when you need to be healed from your spiritual malady? You go to the Beit HaMikdash, you come in the place of the Shekhinah, and you will find a cure for your spiritual illness. So therefore, that's why, according to Rashi, Rashi is explaining what the Targum means when the Targum says that we're referring here to the Beis HaMikdash. Gilad is a term that is used for spiritual healing. What about Levonon? That's very simple. That means Tahara. Levon comes from the word Lavon, white, pure. It's soon going to be the Yamim Leroyim, and we're going to change the Paroches to a white Paroches, because on the Yamim Leroyim we wear a kittel. It is a time of Tahara, purity. And that's the place of the Beis HaMikdash. It is called Livonon. So therefore, that's why these two terms, according to the Targum, refers to the Beis HaMikdash. And Hashem says, even despite the Chavivos, the special love I have for the Beis HaMikdash, it's the place where I have rested my Shekhinah. And you would think, why would I want to destroy this Mokoyim, where my abode, where I have designated as my Mokoyim of the Hashuas HaShekhinah? Hashem says, it doesn't make a difference. I swear I will destroy it. I'll make it into a desert. I'll make the entire city like a city that was never inhabited. Pasuk Zayin in Rashi, Kidashti. I'm going to designate Vizimanti. The word Kidashti does not mean holy. It means designation. We have that very many times. A Kodesh, a Kadesha, a harlot, a man, a prostitute, a man or a woman that's set aside for the purpose of Znus is called a Kodesh. Why? He has designated himself for the purpose of Avera. And certainly when it comes to holiness, it's Kodesh. You have designated it for the purpose of Hashem. All the word Kodesh means is designation.
That's why we call
that as Kodeshim. Ooh, okay. Next, V'chorsu Mivchar Arozeh. I'm going to cut down its chosen cedars. That's the same exact thing as what it said in the Mitzvah Stavet. Let's see the Radak and Pasik Vav. Ki choyam Hashem gilat al li roish halavonon. Amar al beis melech Yehuda shehu roish malchus Yisrael. He's reading now. According to Radak, we're now referring to Yerushalayim. We're now referring to Eretz Yisrael. We're referring to the malchus. Ato hayis li kamo gilat ki gilat irachas veiv hayarden. It's one city. The entire land is called the land of Sichon V'Yoig. Eretz HaGilad, Kihi Rosh Lohem. Gilad was the, according to the parish of the Radak, it's a little bit different than Mitzudos. Gilad was the capital. It was actually a city. It's not just a region. From the Mitzudos, we get the impression that Gilad is a region which includes an enormous chunk of land. The land of Oig, the Sichon, and the Bashan. According to the Mitzudos, it appears that Gilad is a Radak. According to the Radak, Gilad is a city. It is a city that is the capital of this entire region. V'chein ha'yisa atoli, roish mamleches Yisrael. So here the Radak says that Gilad, we're referring to the Malchus. Again, not like Rashi and the Mitzudos that both that learn, it refers to either the Beis HaMikdash or to the entire, or Tzion v'Yerushalayim. Radak learned it refers to Tzion v'Yerushalayim. According to Rashi, learned according to the Beis HaMikdash. No, that's not what the Radak says. It refers to the Malchus of the Malchus. Gam Kein Eretz Yisrael b'Shem HaLovanon. Also, then he goes on to say the other interpretation of the Mitzudos. Eretz Yisrael, which is b'Shem HaLovanon. K'mo Shomar HaHorat HaVazeva HaLovanon. The whole Eretz Yisrael is also HaLovanon. V'Yatoa now, Ashitzcha Midbar, I'm going to make you into a desert. The Oshishe Arim Ashes Yosecha Kilo Noshavu, I'm going to make the cities that surround you as if they never were inhabited. Imlo, I swear, Hashem says. Inyan Shvua, Kumo Imlo, Shivisi Vidamamti Pasikantilim, I swear, I swear Shivisi that I said this to thee and I'm quiet. Okay, that Pasik means I swear. Imlo Batim Rabim, Vihadim Imlohem, Noshava, now we go to some grammar, Kosu Behei. We have here a kri v'chsef, arim lo noishva. That's the way it is spelled, but it is pronounced noishavu b'loshon rabim. Kasu behei al ha'aretz derech klal b'loshon yachid v'korei noishavu, and we read it in the plural al ha'arim upon the cities b'loshon rabim. Yonasan Pirish Gilu Beis Hamikdash. Now he's going back and he's telling us exactly what Rashi said. The Gilu refers to Beis Hamikdash. Shatagim apostakein arei kindon. So says Omar Hashem, so it shall be. So it shall be, says Hashem al Beis Hamelech Shifta, the Goymer Kibbe Amod, as we mentioned above. Pasuk Zayin Radak, Vikidashti, Azmein Olecha Mashchisim Sheyashchisu Beischa. Again, the Radak is learning that this Pasuk is addressing the Melech. The primary subject of the Pasuk is the king. The king, I'm going to designate Mashchisim to attack you, the Melech, and to kill you. Ish v'cheilav, each warrior will come with his weapons. Ritzon Elomar, uklei mafotso lahapil habayis. Okay, these are, I don't know what they call them in English. These are sledgehammers. They come with a very heavy instrument which they bang against the wall, which shatters, the wall shatters stones, or shatters something very heavy, which destroys walls. With a sledgehammer. Mivchar arozecha, your chosen cedars. Return to Lomar, kiri habatim hasipunim. It means the walls of your homes, which are covered with panels of wood. The beautiful homes in ancient times, they would be made from stone, but on the inside they would panel with beautiful pieces of wood. Kumo shama lamata, be'in v'safun ba'araz. We're soon going to have the criticism that the Navi is going to give to Yehoyakim. Yehoyakim, when he became Melech after the death of Yoshiyahu, he indulged in beautiful construction. He built himself the most magnificent palace in the world. And he had cheap labor, he hired workers, and he never paid them. That's what he did. He built a beautiful palace, and he promised them he'll pay them money when they finished their work. He never paid them, and that was considered to be a very great theft. He lived in a home that was acquired through theft. V'chein sotu ki arza era. Okay, another pasuk. There you see the word "ira" means it will be burnt in fire. Omar al kiras abatim hasafunim ba'era is covered with wood. V'yipilu al eish k'mo shnemar v'yishref 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 v'space Hashem v'yispace hamelach v'gomer v'yinusan tirgem v'azamein alach mechablim v'gomer kalach v'yisum before part. So we hear Yirmi is giving these two, telling us in the book exactly what's going to happen. It's going to be Gilad and Levana. And Levana, these two terms refer to the Beis HaMikdash, refer to the Malchus of David, or refer to the Yerushalayim. They're going to be destroyed. Hashem is not going to hold back, even though these things are chash in his eyes. Pasuk Ches, V'avru goyim rabim ma'alhu ir hazayis v'yamru. What's going to happen is they're going to be tourists. They're going to pass by the city, they're going to see the city, and they're going to say, Amru ish al-reyu, al-meh asah Hashem kachal ir hagdil hazayis. They're going to be in utter shock. They're going to be in utter shock. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do to the city? How did it happen that the city was destroyed, obliterated? Pasuk Tes. And the Goyim are going to say, V'amru ala sh'ozu es bris Hashem elokeihem. Vayishtachlu l'luchim acherim vayavdu. It's simple. The reason why this has happened is because they have bowed down, they have worshipped idols. Okay, two very simple psukim. The goyim, and it's not so simple. The goyim are going to acknowledge, the point in Parshat Nekov in these psukim is the goyim are going to acknowledge is that the churban is so awesome, it's so destructive, it's so massive, it's not derech hateva. It is l'mala miderech hateva that Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael should be destroyed to such a degree, which will bring to the awareness of the Umos HaOlam that this was an act of God. The Umos HaOlam are not on a madrega, on a spiritual level, where they can see the Yad Hashem and the ordinary occurrences of life. The ordinary occurrence of life, so that the Umos HaOlam, they think, knew it's a coincidence. We know, Hashgacha Pratis, nothing happens by coincidence. But when there are things that are so awesome, they're so magnificent, so unusual, then even the Umos HaOlam acknowledge, are aware, that it is an act of God. And is it... What?
That was then, before secularism.
Why, even today? Why, you don't say even today? Even the Holocaust, even the Goyim don't acknowledge that this is something which is beyond belief?
No.
No? They don't? 70 years later, maybe now we're living in a different generation. It's 70 years later, but we have to go back at the time when it happened. And when it happened, and how did the world, I mean, they turned a blind eye, that we know. But all right, but this is what it says. It says over here that the guy, when they come to Yerushalayim, they're going to see an astonishing desolation in Churban, and the Pasuk here says testimony that the Goyim will recognize that this was an act of God.
Don't insurance policies say something about, you know, they don't cover an act of God?
Yeah, it's just something like that. All right, let's see over here. Pasuk Ches in Tess in the Mitzudot Stav, two very straightforward psukim. Aloir Samuch Lehoir. When the nations they pass near the city, Alma Bavurma, they're going to ask why? Why did Hashem do this? The Amru, and they're going to say to themselves, Re'ehem Yeshivum Lomer Allah Sheozu Hashem. The reason why they were punished was because they abandoned their faith. Okay, there is no Rashi. There's just one. What? Because we have abandoned Hashem, yeah. Right, exactly. That's what we're saying. It's an act of God because they know it only can be because we sinned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's exactly the point. Okay.
So they don't recognize
HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because, right, they don't recognize. When it comes to someone else, when it comes to yourself, you don't see. When it comes to someone else, it's easier. Not that it's easy, But when you're not no geah b'davar, it's definitely easier to be aware of something. Pasuk Ches in the Radak v'avru mevuaruchu v'chein v'amru. Pasuk Ches and Pasuk Tes are self-explanatory. You don't need me to give you any interpretation. Pasuk Yud. Now we come to a pasuk which is an important pasuk. Pasuk is cited in Chazal. We heard about this pasuk. The pasuk appears every so often. Al tivku. It's a new theme. We have to know Pashup Shat, and then there are many midrashim, many, many different ideas that are taken from this pasuk out of context. Tivku lemes, Yirmiyah says, cry for the dead. Ve'al tanudu lo, I'm sorry, al tivku lemes, I'm sorry, al, I'm sorry, I left it, al, do not cry for the dead. Ve'al tanudu lo, do not wag your head, do not bend your head in an expression of their heretz of mourning. If you want to cry, if you want to invest in the effort of crying, I'll tell you who to cry for. Cry for the living. B'chu v'cho la'hoylech. Cry for those that are walking, those that are traveling. Ki lo yashuvo, they will no longer return. V'ra'o es eretz mayladato, they will no longer return and see their land. Now, what is it referring to? So on a very simple level, we're going to be referring to the people, there are going to be two different groups that are going to suffer at the time of the Churban. There are going to be those that are going to be killed, and there are those that are going to be taken into exile. The ones that are going to be killed, they got off easy because their pain and suffering came to an end. They're not going to have to suffer anymore, and they will have the merit of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. We discussed this at great length a couple of days ago. We don't really appreciate what is the significance of dying in Eretz Yisrael and of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. But the people that will die due to the famine, starvation, or being killed by the enemy, at least they will have the benefit of dying in the Holy Land and being buried in the Holy Land. Whereas those people who are going to be taken as captives by Nebuchadnezzar and the Kastim, they're going to go into Golis. They're going to have a miserable end. Number one, they're going to suffer. Who knows what's going to be with their children? They may have children that will not be religious, they'll assimilate, and that's not going to bring them nachas ruach in the next world. And also, as the Mitzvot points out and emphasizes, they're going to die in Chutz Li'aretz, and they're going to be buried in Chutz Li'aretz. And for all of those things, it's kedai, it's worthy for one to shed a couple of tears for those people that suffer that fate. But the people that die, nu knesas hatzadik lefnei hara'ah. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away the tzadik so he should not have to see harm that comes at a later point in time. That is the pshuta shel mikra. Now before we see the mefarshim, it's also pshat. We're coming to contrast, yeah?
Today is Palm
Palm's yard side, right.
He was nifter right before 9/11 also.
He was nifter, was he, yeah? He was nifter right before 9/11,
yeah.
Okay. Okay, so we have over here, they say that about people who die before the Holocaust. People who die before the Holocaust, they don't have to see the horrors that came to their family, to the people. So, ki nesaf hatzadik lefnei hara'ah. Okay, now, let's discuss here another pashup shot and something important. And that is, this is going to be the theme of the next series of psukim. We're coming to contrast the successors of Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu was a very great tzaddik. He took over the malchus from his father and grandfather that were extremely evil, from Amon and Menashe, who set Klal Yisrael down a path of churban, of avera, that was beyond repair. The truth is, when Yoshiyahu was the king for 40 years. If I'm not mistaken, no, 31. He was the king for 31 years. When Yoshiyahu died, Chazal tell us it was meant to be the Churban Beis Hamikdash. That was the time that the Churban was supposed to begin. It's only because Klal Yisrael, they eulogized him properly, they were masperim kehalacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu extended the bayis for another 22 years. For another 22 years, they were allowed to live in the land, and during those 22 years, Klal Yisrael had five kings. They had five kings that continued during four kings. Yoshiyahu was the fifth to last king. There were five more kings. Now, who were the five kings? Yehoiachaz. Yehoiachaz was only king for 3 months. Okay, he was only king for 3 months. Nebuchadnezzar immediately came up to Yerushalayim. And he took Yehoiachaz and he removed him. He removed him from being melech. He took him down with him. He installed him as king, and then he killed him. And if I'm not mistaken, the story was he came and he installed him as king, and then he went back home. And his advisors said, "You made a big mistake. Why did you install your enemy as a king?" So he went back and he killed him. And in his place, he put Yehoiakim. Now, Yehoiakim was a very important king. He was king for the next 11 years. And him we're going to discuss in a lot of detail. The reign of Yehoiakim. Yehoiakim is not a very good person in the eyes of Chazal. So he basically was the real succeed. Now, this was a son. Yoshio had three sons. He had Yehoiachaz, Yehoiakim, and Tzidkiyahu, three sons. Each one of these three sons took a turn as being a melech. The first two were not roy to be kings. Yehoiachaz, who was only king for 3 months until he was killed, and Yehoiakim were not roy to be king. They just were not on the level where they were responsible or they were righteous, where they deserved to be king, however. They maneuvered themselves. I guess they were of the age. They were the oldest children, so they maneuvered themselves to be king. The one that was roy to be king, that had the malchus in his blood, that it was a person with his head on his shoulders, was the last king, was Tzidkiyahu. But Tzidkiyahu, as we know, you don't become king because when once the Malchus goes to one child, then it automatically goes down to his descendants. Now Yehoyachas, which was the first son of Yoshiah, who had no children, or if he had children, I'm not even sure, they were out of the picture, they were not eligible to be king for whatever reason. So after the first of the children died, it was given to Yehoyakim, the second. When Yehoyakim died, 11 years later, who succeeded him? Yehoyahu didn't die. He was killed by Nebuchadnezzar, by we'll see how he died. He died a very horrible death. Who took over? His son, Yehoyachin. Now Yehoyachin was also only king for 3 months. Just like Yehoyachah was only king for 3 months, Nebuchadnezzar came and exiled him. That was right at the beginning of the Korban, together with 10,000 of the best of Klal Yisrael, which are called the Chorosh VeHamasker. Chorosh means the craftsmen, VeHamasker means the gatekeepers. And simply this means people that were skilled laborers. Nebuchadnezzar was afraid that if he left over in Yerushalayim people that had skilled laborers, they're going to organize and they're going to rebel. They're going to manufacture weapons and they're going to arm themselves, they're going to defend themselves, and it'll be very difficult for Nebuchadnezzar to maintain a grip upon Yerushalayim. So to prevent that from happening, he went into all of the universities and all the skilled laborers, and he took with him the best that Klal Yisrael had to offer, and he exiled them to make sure the only ones that will be left were the unskilled workers that would not be wise enough, clever enough in order to rebel. In Chazal's understanding, it wasn't just the skilled laborers, they were the Talmidei Chachamim. Nebuchadnezzar recognized that the strength of Klal Yisrael are the Talmidei Chachamim. If he lets the Talmidei Chachamim remain in Yerushalayim, they will bring about a tshuva movement and it would prevent him from conquering Yerushalayim. So he took them into Galus. Then, after he went to Galus, who was the last king? The last king was Tzidkiyahu, who reigned for the last 11 years. And he was a mixed bag. On the one hand, he was called a tzaddik. On the other hand, Chazal were very critical because he did not listen to the words of Yirmiyah. He did not surrender to Nebuchadnezzar as he should. So the bottom line over here is we're discussing now the tkufa of the last four kings of Klal Yisrael. Yoshiyahu dies. Yoshiyahu died because he did not listen to Yirmiyah. He did not allow Paro Necho to pass through the land. He was murdered by Paro Necho. This created a void. Nebuchadnezzar took advantage of this void and he began to flex his muscles. At this point in time, for the last 22 years, Yehoyachas for 3 months, Yehoyakim for 11 years, then Yehonya, that was the son of Yehoyakim, for 3 months, and then after Yehoyakim, we went back to the third son of Yoshiyahu. Who was the third son of Yoshiyahu? Tzidkiyahu. He reigned for the last 11 years. Now the next series of psukim, according to most of the commentators, were coming to contrast and compare the reign of Tzidkiyahu, who was 11 years, to the reign of Yehoyakim, where it was also 11 years. We're not going to focus on Yehoyakim, and we're not going to focus, I shouldn't say that, we are going to focus on Yehoyakim, is Yehoyakim, and we're going to focus on these four, really mainly three of the four. When it says here in the Pasuk, don't cry for the dead, but instead cry for the ones that are going, so in addition to the simple interpretation that we just explained to mean, cry for those who are going to go into exile, and don't cry for those that are going to die in the siege, in the onslaught. It's comparing, don't cry for Yehoyakim, but cry for Yehoyachin. Cry for Yehoyakim's son. Or don't cry for Tzidk, or don't cry for Yehoyakim, cry for Tzidkiyahu. Because Tzidkiyahu, who lasted the last 11 years, or Yehoyachin, the son of Yehoyakim, they are called the Hoylech. They are the ones that went into exile. So for them, you should cry. But don't cry for Jehoiakim, who did not go into exile, and who died not in Yerushalayim, he was taken as a captive by Nebuchadnezzar. He was taken down, they tried to bring him down to Babel, but he got sick on the way, and he died. And when he died, they didn't even bother burying him, they just threw his body off the wagon like you would throw a donkey. If you have a donkey, and the donkey dies on the road, what do you do with the donkey? Just push it to the side of the road. Leave it for the DOT to come and to tow away at some point in time. So they took the body of the king Jehoiachin, like a dead donkey, and they threw it on the side of the road. They did not even give him burial. The Pasuk says, don't cry for him. He doesn't deserve your tears. He was not a good man. Or what it means is, even though maybe there's what to cry about, relatively speaking, compared to Tzidkiyahu, who was a tzaddik to some degree, and was taken to Babel, and watched in front of his eyes the murder of his 10 children, and he himself was later blinded, his fate was a million times worse than the fate of Jehoiakim. At least Jehoiakim, he died in Eretz Yisrael. He may not have been buried. He may have been treated like a donkey, but at least he died in Eretz Yisrael and did not have to witness the murder of his children and the blinding of his eyes. Unlike Tzidkiyahu, who suffered a very horrible fate with the death of his children and with the death and experiencing the exile. Okay, that is the second interpretation of the pasuk, which is geared towards the pshat. We're going to come to Midrashim soon, but let's first see what it says over here in this Pasuk in the Mitzvah Sabah with that background in mind. Pasuk Yud. Al Tivku, do not cry lemes. Ein ra livkois al mish lemes bi arzo. You don't have to cry for a person that died in Eretz Yisrael, the nikbon that was buried, the kivrei avoysa that died in ancestral plot. Al asher azu. I'm sorry. Okay, I don't have that in my edition. I have a different text here. Kain derech hamakoinin lohania beroishai derech ovel vitzar. And don't wag your head. That's the derech of a makoinin in order to bend his head in an expression of pain and mourning. Bacho, if you want to cry, bichu vacho lahoilech. Avol b'chu al ha'olech me'artzo b'ashevi, cry for those that are going to exile in captivity. U'mikra she'la'acharev yifarish mihu, on the next pasuk in Pasuk, with Pasuk Yud Aleph, we're going to mention Shalom ben Yoshiyahu, which we're going to interpret as a reference to Tzidkiyahu. Okay, we'll see. Let's first see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Yud. Al tivku l'meis. Now you remember, I'm sorry. Kilo Yoshev, sorry, right, one more line. Kilo Yoshev, al Kilo Yoshev uli artso. Those people that are taken as captives, when the Nebuchadnezzar will no longer return, will yira eretz merladetok, yisham begoyle yamus v'yikavir, because they're in exile, he will die and they will be buried. Let us see Rashi. Rashi pasuk yud, al tifku lemeis. So again, remember, the Mitzvah says we're dealing with captives. We're dealing with captives versus those who die a peaceful death in Yerushalayim and are buried b'kivrei avosav. Rashi says, no, we're dealing with a specific person. Al tifku lemeis li Jehoiakim, sheyamus, that will die lifnei hashar, right in front of the gate of Yerushalayim. Nebuchadnezzar will ascend and will attack and will want to flex his muscles on Yerushalayim. And as was the derech in ancient times, the way you show who the boss is you fire all the people that are in charge. You remove the king. Who is the king? You come to Yerushalayim, who is the king? The king is Jehoiakim? No, he's not. I'm the king here. And right away he takes him as a captive to show the people that I'm in charge, and he appoints, and the enemy, the melech, Nebuchadnezzar, appoints someone who is loyal to him as the new king, and in this case it was going to be Jehoiakim. So what does he do with Jehoiakim? Come with me, I'm taking you as a captive, you're coming down to Babel. As they took him down to Babel, he got sick and he died at the gate of the city. when they imprisoned him, to exile him. Bachol, if you want to cry, cry for the Hoylech. Rashi, two people we are referring to. Li Yehoyachin, who was only king for 3 months. After 3 months, he decided, Nebuchadnezzar returned and decided, you know what, better I should exile you as well, the son, because his advisor said, why in the world would you want to appoint his son? They said to Nebuchadnezzar, you're a fool. If you're coming to Yerushalayim, and you want to show them who the boss is, and you want to remove the authority, why would you appoint the person's son as a replacement? The son will never be loyal to you. If you killed his father, he'll be planning and plotting every day to overthrow you. If you want to appoint a replacement, you appoint someone from the other side, from the opposition. It's a Republican, you appoint a Democrat, you appoint a Republican. Okay, you don't go appoint someone from the same party. They'll hate you for this. Lahilich. So who should you cry for? So that's why he came back after 3 months and he removed Yehoyachin and instead he appointed Tzidkiyahu. Now, I don't know why that was much better because Tzidkiyahu was the uncle. He appointed Yehoyachin's uncle, which was Tzidkiyahu, which was the third son of Yoshiyahu. Who are the Hoylech? Two people are the Hoylech. Li Yehoyachin, Uli Tzidkiyahu, period. Emor Meyata, from this we can derive, Rashi comments from this pasuk, we can learn the following important lesson. Chaviva misasoi shel Yehoyakim, better the death of Yehoyakim, shenemar bo v'nivlosoi tia mushlechet lachoyrev bayoim ulekerech balayla, his carcass will be thrown along the side of the road and rot in the ice of winter and the heat of the summer, the heat of the day and the ice of winter, of the night. Mechayav, then the life, the good life, shel Yehoyachin, shenemar bo, v'aruchaso, aruchas tamid, he was given a stipend. He did not have to work. Yehoyachin, being that he had royal blood, when he came down to Babel, Nebuchadnezzar treated him with derech eretz. He did not treat with derech eretz Tzidkiyahu, but Yehoyachin was treated with derech eretz. He had a good life in Babel. They set up shop. They made the preparations for the golus of Klal Yisrael during those 11 years. So what's going on over here? How could this possibly be? Yehoyakim was murdered, or he died. He was thrown off the wagon like a donkey. He rotted. It was not zoichet to kavura, to burial. But yet, his death is better than the good life of Yehoyakim. Why? Because Golus, there is no tsar, and there is no pain greater than the pain of exile, of Golus. It's hard for us to understand that. We live in Golus, we don't know for anything else. We don't even know what it means for there to be Geula, because we never had this for 2,000 years. But that's what the Pasuk over here is teaching us, and that is what Rashi is making this observation on his own. Okay, let's see Radak. Radak Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk Yud. Altif Kulameis, Lemisha Yamus Mibes David Shezachar. Vuhu Yehoyakim. So Radak is learning like Rashi. We are focusing on an individual. Shemes V'derech. Emar, the pasuk says, "Al tifkulo, don't cry for his death." Kevin shemes toivhu, since that he dies, toivhu mishayigle v'yichya chayetzar ubezoyon kmo Yehoyachin. Better that he should die than live a life of pain and disgrace like Yehoyachin. And what is the disgrace? It's not the disgrace of not having what to eat, not having clothing, being tortured. The disgrace is to be in Golus. That is called itself a disgrace. V'yomar, b'avur Yehoyakim al tifku, with regard to Yehoyakim, do not cry. V'al tonudu lo, ki toivi hi lo imisa, so it's good that he died. El, mi roi shetifku, l'mi shoylech b'golos, ki lo yoshuv oid v'ros eretz melatikos, they will never come back and see their land. V'zeu Yehoyakim, shehiglu oiso l'bavel, v'sha meis, there he died. V'hoye beis hakel olam et zayin shana, he was locked up in prison first, before he was released and given food. He was first locked up in prison for 37 years until the death of Nebuchadnezzar. After Nebuchadnezzar died, Evel Merodach took over, and Evel Merodach had derech eretz for Yehoyachin. Along with low roy livkos, v'dorsha avosim tzchon levracha, al tifku lemes yoytzim midai. Now we come over here to the Medrash. Okay, so Medrash number one. This pasuk we're now going to extract out of the context, and we're going to apply it into a general sense, telling us a general instruction that a person is not allowed, it's not proper to mourn for a departed person more than what Chazal prescribe. 3 days for crying, 7 days for Avelus and 30 days for Hesped, and that's it. And then there's Avelus, a residual Avelus that goes on for 12 months. But basically after 30 days, it's over, even for a parent. After 30 days, the major chunk of mourning of Tsar comes to an end after 30 days. There's Avelus, things that you don't do for 12 months. You say Kaddish, the Tikkun of the Neshama, for 12 months, but 30 days. And that's what the Pasuk says, don't cry more than what I instruct you. V'darshu Rabbi Sinzor Lebracha, al tivku lemeis yosem midai, v'al tanudu lo yosem mikishu, do not bow your head more than the shir. Ha-ketzad, shaloisha livchi, 3 days for crying, shiva lehespit, 7 days for eulogy, shloishim legeilis ulutispares, 30 days for pressing your clothing, freshly laundered clothing, and taking a haircut. The Omar, but there is a person for whom you could cry for. And what is this? And this is really another drasha. The Omar, b'chu, is commanding two drashas. B'chu v'cho la'hoylech b'loi banim. Cry for someone that leaves this world. If you want to cry for a prolonged period of time, longer than the prescribed period, a person that leaves this world without children. Because he does not have someone that will carry him further in the next world. Period. This is what Chazal said. Then when it's over here, the word, the b'chu, now we have a grammatical point. B'chu v'cho, mekar b'vav, v'mokam hei, olamet apal. So the word b'chu is not your usual word. It really should be b'cho. B'cho, the lamet. The end, the last letter of the shirish, the lamet. Of the poal, pei ayin lamid, the last letter of the shorish is a lamid, should really be a hey, not a vav, but for the purpose of this form, we exchange the hey for a vav. B'chu b'kar b'vav, b'mokim hey, lamid over here, the makar we are, the way the word is being used is with a vav, replacing what should be the hey that would go into the slot of the lamid, the last letter of the shorish, of the Pei Ayin Lamed. Okay, so this is the famous Chazal of that. There is another Chazal that say, don't cry for the dead, cry for the living. Because the dead, there's nothing to cry anymore for them. They've done their tafkit, there's nothing more you can do for them, they've gone to a better place. The living who are wasting their time and have potential, the dead no longer have potential. It's over. It is what it is. They've done their tafkid in this world, they're in the next place, they're now in a better place, and it is. But the living, every single moment, there is potential. There is potential to do tshuva, ma'asim tovim, tzedakah, chesed, Torah, and people are just wasting away the opportunity. So that is something that's worthy for crying over. Lost potential. Lost potential, the hoylech. A living person is called a hoylech. The nasat v'cha mahalchim bein ha'omdim ha'elech. A malach is called an oimed. A living human being in this world of Hester Panim is called a choylech. When you take that chazal and you inject it into this pasuk, don't cry for the dead, cry for the living. The living have opportunities which they are not taking advantage of, and these opportunities, ki lo yoshuvot, the opportunities will never come back. Once they're squandered, they're gone forever. They'll never see it's ever similar to, they'll never see the land where they've come from, meaning the expression, every meal they'll be able to go produce and accomplish the things that they could have in the past. Alright, are there any more midrashim I want to point out here?